For those of you that have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to Romans chapter 1, and we'll simply read verse 1, Romans chapter 1, verse 1. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. This letter is from Paul, a slave, Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. Let me say that again. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God, chosen by God, called by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. I want to encourage our hearts this morning from the thought, Extreme Makeover, Gospel Edition. Extreme Makeover, Gospel Edition. So for those that may not know, Extreme Makeover is an American reality television series. Matter of fact, it started back in December of 2002. It's hard to believe that two decades have passed since that series actually started. But in the original series, there would be an ordinary man or woman, and they would undergo this extreme makeover, that they would maybe have plastic surgery, they would have an exercise routine that they had to go through. They would do all the hairdressing and the wardrobe and all of that. And then finally, the big day came. It was the big reveal that family and friends would wait outside in the studio, and they would stand behind the curtains, and all of a sudden, they would come out, y'all, and it would be the big reveal, and they would show the before picture and the after picture. And oftentimes, listen, folks, they didn't look like, they looked totally different. I mean, to family members, they couldn't recognize them. It was an extreme makeover. But then came, in this whole franchise of Extreme Makeover, there was Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Now, a whole lot of us probably remember that one. That some unfortunate family, maybe they had lost a parent, or maybe it was some disaster. But y'all remember, they would have their entire homes made over. It was extreme. And some of y'all still remember the famous line from that series. Bus driver, come on, move that bus. And the bus driver would move the bus from in front of the house, y'all, and the family would begin to jump and scream and cry and fall out and praise God and all of that. And we do the same thing with them, y'all. I can only talk about me. The Bible says rejoice with those who rejoice. And I'd be right there in front of the TV crying and say, I'm glad for them. Because they had an extreme makeover. And then all of a sudden they would flash the before scenes of what the house used to look like. And then what it looked like afterwards. And without a doubt it was extreme makeover. So extreme makeover, y'all, they got real extreme. They had the extreme weight loss edition. They had the extreme wedding edition. Never saw that one. And I don't know what's coming next. Is anything else out there? Is there the extreme edition, dog edition? I don't know. Take some old mangy mutt and, you know, clip him up, you know, get the nails done, clean his teeth, take him to obedience school, and y'all, and before you know it, the big reveal, and the dog is, that's humor, y'all, it's humor. But the fact is, y'all, for over two decades, we've been fascinated with extreme makeovers. That we love watching the unfolding of the old into the new as we anticipate the big reveal, that we see the before picture and we see the after picture and we celebrate, whether it's the new change in a body, it's in health, it's in a home or a life. But let me ask you a question this morning. What changes has your belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ made in your life? The Apostle Paul writes, to encourage the Romans, that they had hoped someday to go and visit with them, but because of other circumstances, he was not allowed to do it. But he writes to them about the impact of the gospel in the lives of those who accept the truth of the gospel, that God sent his son into the world, to die for the sins of the world, that the Son gave his life for you and me. He hung on Calvary's cross, but he did not stay dead. He rose again from the grave. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wonder this morning, do you believe in the truth of the gospel? And so Paul is this skilled lawyer, and he presents the case of the gospel clearly and forthrightly in his letter to the church. So Paul builds an airtight case of the lostness of mankind and the necessity of God's intervention, that we needed God to intervene on our behalf. But then Paul, he preaches about the good news, the salvation, about salvation, and it's available to anyone who believes on the name of Jesus, regardless of their identity, their sin, or their heritage. That God in his power is able to regenerate us, to make us new. And believe me, I don't say this as a person that's judging and looking down on it. I need God's grace just as much as anybody else does. But here's something I believe. It's critical that we understand how the gospel changes our lives. Embracing the gospel brings salvation, but it also brings transformation. Becoming more like Jesus is a process. You look at Romans chapter 6, and Paul lets us know that sin's power has been broken. Yet he turns around right in chapter 7, and he talks about the continual struggle with sin.
Yeah.
The power of sin is broken through belief in the gospel, yet the presence of sin is still a reality. Therefore, the propensity to sin is still a problem. Yeah. Or maybe I'm just talking to me.
Oh, no.
That the propensity to sin is still a problem. And Paul said this in chapter 7, I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Paul might say, listen, y'all, it's a struggle, and the struggle is real. But our goal as believers is to yield to the Spirit and allow him to work in and through us to perform an extreme makeover and not revert back to the life that we used to live. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11 suggests this, y'all, that the way a dog returns to its vomit. There are some people that will perhaps profess Jesus Christ, but they'll return back to the stench of their old ways and the stench of their sins. Born again believers should not return to the vomit of their past, but allow the grace of God and the power of God to work in us and through us to change us, to give us an extreme makeover. Perhaps you've heard of the term recidivism. When we talk about recidivism, we're talking about this tendency of a convict to redo the sins they used to do, the crimes they used to do. That y'all, maybe somebody's family, that's in my family, that folk, they do right. You know, they go to jail, they pay their time, they get out, they mess up again, and they go back to jail. That they are re-offenders. And I said, maybe y'all ain't got none of those in y'all family, but I wonder how many re-offenders are there in the house of God? What's the recidivism rate in God's house amongst God's people? We were once convicted of sin and set free by the gospel. We are changed, and dare we go back to be reoffenders, committing the same old stuff that we've been doing day after day and year after year? I say certainly not. Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. No, we cannot do that. So if you were mean as a junkyard dog, Mark, 5 years ago, have you changed today?
My.
If you were lustful Lonnie or lustful Lucy,
come on.
Have you changed? What has the gospel done in your life? Yeah, it saved you, but how are you transforming? We receive an extreme makeover, spiritual home edition, meaning that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and it becomes his home. He takes up residence inside of us,
And so we dare not yield our homes, our bodies to our own selfish desires and become shipwrecked by the pull of the world. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship. That worship is more than clapping your hands. It's more than standing on your feet. It's more than shouting. But worship is all about how you live Monday through Saturday before you get to the house of God on Sunday.
Lifestyle.
We dare not allow our extreme makeover spiritual weight loss addiction turn into an extreme weight loss tragedy. The writer of Hebrews says this, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Here's what I want you to know. The gospel that saves us also reorders our lives. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it saves us that we spend eternity with him someday. But it should also reorder. It should also change your life, change the way you live. It is the power of the extreme makeover, gospel edition, that brings transformation and works in us to do an extreme makeover. The fact is we should remain fascinated and stand in awe and stand in wonder of what God is doing in and through us. I don't think there's anything wrong with celebrating yourself if you're not the same person today as you were yesterday. You don't fuss as much. That praise God, you don't cuss as much. That you're doing something. Yeah. Celebrate yourself. Celebrate the victories that you have in your life. Celebrate what God has done in your life and in my life. And so, I briefly, I just want to share three ways the gospel reorders. The gospel changes our lives. From Paul's, I'm just using one. I love the book of Romans, y'all. That's my book. I love the book of Romans. Just from this introductory part of his letter, just three things I want to mention. The first way is this, by remaking our identity. Verse 1, this letter is from Paul, a slave, Christ Jesus. The word slave in the Greek is doulos. That Paul says, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. Now I know when we think about the term slave, it conjures up different feelings, especially of those who've lived in America for some period of time, and we know American history. The term means, to the Greeks, it meant to be enslaved. It meant forced to work and to obey another, whether you wanted to or not, that you became the property of someone else. In the Greek, that's that term. It means involuntary labor, permanent service of a slave. But here in the text, Paul elevates this word, and he uses it in the Hebrew sense to describe a servant who willingly commits himself to another. To serve a master because he loves the master, he respects the master, he becomes, some of your Bibles read, bond servant. A bond servant is a person who willingly gives up their life. They give up their will for another simply out of love for the one that loves them. I wonder how many in the house today can say you've willingly given up your life for the cause of Christ.
Because he loves you.
You love him. We connect to Christ and become recipients and participants in his divine nature. And sure, y'all, listen, we ought to be allergic to sin and addicted to Jesus.
Come on now.
How many folk in the house said you are addicted to Jesus? Don't fool me now. That you love the Lord and you won't take it back. But not only does it show up in your lips, but it shows up in your lifestyle. Paul was, y'all, he was a rascal. That he was zealous for the Jewish faith. And he didn't compromise his faith in what he believed. You look in your Bibles at Acts chapter 8, verse 3. It states, Paul began ravaging the church, entering house after her house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison, y'all. He would give them the death sentence.
But it's this zeal that Saul, Paul, that he had, that he became this religious extremist.
Let
me say in short today, religious extremism, it's a bear. That we live in a society now where there is religious extremism. That it becomes so extreme and we want to send us everybody to hell, but then who are we going to preach to? Who are we going to tell about Jesus? Saul became determined to eradicate Christians. He was ruthless. He was a terrorist, y'all. Especially when he believed what he was doing for God was the right thing. He thought killing Christians was the right thing to do. But it's a difference, y'all. When we have to understand the difference between God's will and our personal prejudices and pride and judgment and hatred of other people. And let it go on record to say, I say it today, yeah, that there's God's will. And God's will is that we stand in truth. And God's will is that we love other people. And so we can't take the word of God. It's God's truth, and we preach the truth. We stand on the truth, but we can't take it and beat people over the head with it.
Yeah.
And so we see Paul's conversion on the road from Jerusalem to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. As we go through the text and we go through the book of Acts, we see this different Paul. That God remade his identity. The same Paul that went around killing Christians, the same Paul who wanted them murdered now preaches the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The gospel is able to change your life,
yes,
able to
is.
Change
yes,
your identity. It did it for Paul. He can do it for you and for me.
Yeah,
I remember first duty station, Little Rock Air Force Base in Arkansas. And I had a roommate, and he was cool. He was just nice and calm and collect, and he was cool. I mean, he was cool. He was, you know, this wasn't the 70s, but he was just, he had the fro, and he wore the shade. He was just cool, and he was calm. He never raised his voice. You know, he had the brother man walk. You know, he was just cool, y'all. Didn't talk a whole lot, just smooth. And so about 6 months later, he said, "Love, my sister, she joined the Air Force, and guess what? She's going to be assigned to Little Rock Air Force Base with me." Now, I'm thinking about my roommate. I'm thinking about how cool and how calm and collected. His sister got to the base. Wild child number one. I ain't being judgmental, but sister girl was off the chain. She was off the chain. And here's the thing, y'all. So it ends up that she marries my roommate, one of our mutual friends. And I'm saying, "Oh, Lord, you gonna marry? I'm thinking to myself, "You gonna marry her? You really? Wild child number one? You know, it's funny, y'all. How judgmental we become of other people's change,
other than
our own.
Yeah.
Like other people can't change and become different.
Yeah.
Like God can't make them over, just like he made you over, and he's still working on you and still working on me. True story. So I know we engaged in a conversation some years down the road, and it was obvious to me the change that God had made in this young lady's life, that she was on fire for God. That she walked and she talked. She walked and talked Jesus. Child of God, she was on fire. She was a different woman. She was a true woman of God. That God is able to remake our identity. The gospel reorders our lives by first remaking our identity. And then this, y'all, real quick, by reshaping us for his purpose. Reshaping us for God's purpose. Paul said that he was chosen or called to be an apostle. The word apostle means one who is sent. And so in the New Testament, it primarily refers to the 12 disciples who became the apostles that were called by God, and they were sent. And then, of course, Judas messed up. He betrayed Jesus, and so they replaced him with Matthias. But when it comes to Paul, you know, it was Christ himself that selected Paul for this position. That Christ gave him, he gave them the power to confirm the apostleship with miracles and authority. That Jesus chose the apostle Paul, and he reshaped his purpose. Paul said this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Somebody get happy about that already. Because that's your story and my story too. That before we were even born, that God chose us and called us to be his own.
Yes, yes, yes.
Then he says that then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. Paul was once this super religious Pharisee that considered his highest honor to go out and have other Christians killed, Jewish Christians, to persecute them, to have them incarcerated. You know, it's funny how many people think that their calling is to correct other people. Don't look around, look at me today. But God reshaped his purpose on the dusty road to Damascus. His zeal and his passion and his unbuilding commitment to God was used by God for a higher purpose. And listen to me today, God has gifted you. That God has given you a zeal and a passion for a particular thing, but God wants to redirect that passion and that zeal for the things of God. That Paul was chosen by God, and God reshaped his purpose from a pious Pharisee to a humble apostle and an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Beloved, again, God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, and God called you for a purpose. God called you for a purpose.
Yeah.
And your purpose may not be to preach, but God has a purpose for your life. It may not be preaching, but I do know this, that God did call you to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, one thing I find interesting about the Apostle Paul's story is that after his conversion, that the Jewish religious leaders, that they saw him as a foe. That he was no longer a Pharisee like they were, that he preached Christ and him crucified. They thought he was a traitor. The false teachers, they said he's fake because he was raining on their parade. So they said, oh, Paul, he's just a fake. He was a threat to their devilish schemes.
Yeah.
And even many of the Christian leaders in Paul's day, listen, he was still sus. He was suspect, y'all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They still thought he was a terrorist, and many of them didn't want to be near him. I just wonder, a whole lot of people just kind of saw Paul as a nobody, maybe as a piece of junk. One thing I found out is that man's junk is God's treasure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
That God had a purpose for Paul's life. God has a purpose for your life. It's Dr. Tony Evans that tells the story of Billy Taylor. That Billy Taylor was a junkyard specialist. That he would find stuff, y'all, all over the place and stuff that people would throw away. And he'd take this stuff that people would throw away, all this garbage, all of this junk, and he would make contemporary art into this junk. He would sell it, y'all, for upwards of $5,000 for each piece. And what was worthless to the eyes of others was a treasure to Billy Taylor. Maybe you feel worthless in the eyes of other people, but you have great value in the eyes of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And maybe other people don't see you as much, but I know this: God is able to go into the junkyard.
Yes, he is.
And to save you and to make you valuable.
Yeah.
A valuable masterpiece for his glory and for his purpose. Because of his grace, you are now a divine design, reshaped by his purpose. The gospel reorders our lives by remaking our identity, reshaping our purpose. And finally, y'all, we'll be done by redesigning our ambitions. Paul says this: I was sent out to preach the good news. Paul's ambition, his passion, had been redesigned by God from being this great Jewish leader, this great Pharisee, this man who believed in God but did not believe in Jesus. But on that Damascus road, God, he changed his life. He changed his ambition. He changed his purpose. In verses 2 through 7, Paul was so ambitious. Yeah, read the text. Look at the text. Verses 2 through 7. Paul was so ambitious and determined in preaching the gospel that in his introduction, he just in the introduction, y'all, verses 2 through 7.
But he mentions the gospel, and instantly Paul launches into what I call a mini sermon. Paul said, it's the good news. It's about his son that he was born into David's family, yet born. I need a Helman B3 in here right now. Born the son of God, that he was human and he was divine, that he was raised from the dead. He didn't stay dead. He got up from the grave 3 days later with all power in his hands. Through Christ, God gave the apostles the privilege and authority to share the gospel with Gentiles. He also gave you as believers the ability, the power, the privilege to share the gospel. All who are called are loved by God and called to be his own holy. It's in the text, y'all. You are loved by God and called to be holy and given grace and peace. This is the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Paul is like some folk that I know. Y'all look at me. Don't look at some people I know, though. So don't let them be up in the grocery store, you know, to be in the mall and, like I said, checkout person say something like, God bless you. Oh, that was AQ. You know, they just using the general term. You say, oh, have a blessed day, host. Blessed day. Do you know Jesus? They just go into a dialogue. They go and they take a text and go into a sermon. There's some folk like that. You got to be careful who you say God bless you to, because some folk will take a text and they'll start talking about Jesus Christ. Don't get them started. Don't get them started. I love this brother, y'all. I love this brother. All you got to do is give him about this much room, and the brother gone. He gone. He's going to take off. But that's passion, and that's ambition. That the Lord, that he changed your ambition, your passion, and it's for him. And so when we truly understand the depth of what Jesus did for us, the power of the gospel causes us to reprioritize our lives and shift our ambitions on the things that have eternal value. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. When our ambitions change, y'all listen, our focus changes. One of the reasons that so many of us sit in churches and we're unfulfilled, that we're still wondering and wandering, is because we're driving in the wrong lane.
Come on.
We operate in lanes of life that were never designed for us, never intended for us. We operate in purposes that were never designed for us. That on the highway, all exits are good exits, but not all exits are your exit. We don't get off on an exit for no good reason. That we get off on it because there's a destination that we're trying to reach. There's a thing we're trying to do. We decide to get off at exit because they take us to our intended destination. We take exits that lead us to where we're supposed to go, where we're supposed to be. And many people miss their purpose because they're taking the wrong exits. They get off on any exit that comes, any light that they see, they get off on that exit. We should only take exits that take us towards our destiny and what God has purposed and planned for our lives. Paul's exit was a road called the Damascus Road. And that's where his ambition changed. That's where his purpose, his passion was redirected. And near the end of his life, during his second imprisonment in Rome, and shortly before his death for preaching the gospel, Paul wrote to his younger protege in the ministry, Timothy, and he says this, I fought a good fight. I finished my course.
Yeah.
I've kept the faith.
Yeah.
God changed Paul's priorities in life. What are your priorities in life? He redesigned his ambitions, and Paul fulfilled his greatest life ambition for Christ. How about you? In the same letter to Timothy, Paul goes on to say, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Yeah. And not only to me, but unto all those that love his appearing. Y'all, that's the big reveal.
Yeah.
That one day when we see him, that will be the big reveal. So as I close, let me ask you, how is your extreme makeover gospel edition going? If the gospel really has the power to save you and to change your life, to remake your identity, to reshape your purpose, redesign your ambition, then what's the difference? What's new? What's new about you? What's new about you today that was not new about you 5 years ago or 3 years ago? What difference has the gospel made? Yeah, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, filled with the, but what difference has it made in the way you live your life? And here's the thing, if you're not where you think you ought to be, you should, that's okay. That's where we depend on the grace and the mercy and the power of God. But it's recognizing that the gospel not only saves me, it's not about just about salvation, it's about transformation. And if we feel like today, listen, I'm just not where I need to be, it's okay that God is still able to change us from the inside out. And so what do? We continue to study God's word. That we depend upon the power of his word to change us. And then we surrender our will to God. Yes to God, no to the word. Yes to God, not to our own will, but to his will. And we submit to the power of the Holy Spirit and to the Spirit's leading. And we receive our extreme makeover. I love this extreme makeover series, this franchise, because there's the big reveal. They show the before scene and they show the after scene. But what I like about these shows most is the in-between. It's the process. It's the process. It's the process.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I love the process. You know, they either sucking fat out, showing you how to exercise, or getting your hair done, and getting the right wardrobe on, or they're taking a house and they're tearing out walls, tearing out, putting in a new roof on, putting in, everything is a mess. It's a mess, but sometimes the mess, that's a process. It's a process. And the danger sometimes is we look at each other and we look at our lives and without recognizing that there's a process that's going on, and we just simply say, you're a mess. And we need to be able to say, like the songwriter said, please be patient with me, because God is not through with me yet. I might look like a wreck. I might look like a mess, but I'm just in process. I'm going through transition, that God is yet working on you. God is yet working on me. The Apostle John said it well when he said this: dear friends, we are already God's children, but it has not yet appeared what we shall be. But I declare one of these days that we're going to be just like him. We'll be just like Jesus. But what we do now, what we do know, listen, we're going to be like him one day. And parts of our lives right now might not look the best, but God is working on us. And so as children of God, we ought to be kind to one another, loving with one another, patient with one another, gentle with one another. Your before can't compare to your after. When God gets through with you, listen, the songwriter said, we're going to come forth as pure gold.
Pure gold. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So let me ask, but right now, in the process, in your transition, in your in-between place, can God have his perfect work in you? Can God do what he wants to do in you? Can he get his perfect purpose out of your life? That God has designed you for a purpose and for a reason. Can he work that out in you? Can he work it out in me? Can he get perfect prayer out of you? Not heady, wordy prayer with $20 words, but prayer where you can just talk to God and say, God, listen, my situation is toe up from the flow up. I don't know what to do. God, I'm a mess and I need you right now. I need you to fix it, Jesus. I need you to fix it. I fix my head, fix my mind, fix my life, fix me right now. Can we just talk to him like that? And at the end of the day, can he get a perfect praise out of your life. That I will bless the Lord at all times. That his praise shall always be on my lips and in my mouth. That he's a good God. Can he get a perfect praise out of you right now? If you know how good God has been, can he get a perfect praise out of you? Not because I ask you to, but because he deserves it. God is working an extreme makeover in my life, and I'm glad about it. And I praise him, and I magnify him, and I lift him up, and I bless his name, and I thank him, and I worship him, and I adore him, because God is working it out in me. He's working it out in you. Because one day, Minister Jan, there's going to be the big reveal, and we'll be just like Jesus. Hallelujah and amen. Hallelujah and amen. Hallelujah and amen. Extreme makeover of the gospel edition. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For therein lies the power of salvation to all who believe. Do you believe it today? And let me ask you again. You say you believe it. How is the gospel remaking, transforming your life? What's your extreme makeover look like? That's between you and God. What's it like? Father, thank you so much for this word. God, our heart's desire is to be more like Jesus. God, we thank you for the progress that we've made on this road of salvation. But we realize that the work is not complete. And so individually, we come before you this morning. And God, you know, and we know, where our lives aren't lining up with the truth of your word. And you've given us the power to live out the truth of your word. And we realize it's a process. It's that we're transforming. That it doesn't happen instantly in a moment. But day by day, oh God, it's our heart's desire to be more like you, to walk like you, to talk like you. So help us by the power of your Spirit. And Father, we pray right now in this moment, knowing that it starts with a relationship with you, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. And your word says that you loved us so much that you sent your Son into the world, that he gave his life for us. And whoever believes in your Son will have eternal life. God, we admit that we have all sinned and fallen short of your glory. And in this moment, we repent. We turn from our sins. We turn from those things that we close one eye to. We repent from those things that we say, well, God, you know my heart. And God, we're willing in this moment to walk in your truth, to walk in your way. Only by the power of your Holy Spirit can we do it. So we depend upon you, Holy Spirit. We trust you. We confess Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives. And we believe, Father, that you raised him from the dead. Your word says that settles, that saves us. So we trust in your gospel. We trust in your power. We trust in Jesus as you take us through this process. Give us an extreme makeover as we yield ourselves to you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we give God praise one more time? Listen, God loves you with an everlasting love. God loves you like you cannot even believe or imagine. And it's God's desire to shape you and to make you more like him, to make us different. Perhaps there's someone here today, listen, you don't have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That God wants you to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Really, he wants to save you. So we invite you to receive him today. For those that have a saving relationship with Jesus, but you're not connected to a local church somewhere, we invite you to come today.
to be a part of a fellowship where you can worship with other believers, you can serve with other believers, pray with other believers, that we're inviting you to become a part of the family of Living Faith Community Church. Perhaps there's someone that's listening in today, you're asking, well, how can I do this today? I'm out there. Well, we invite you to partake in this invitation. And how do you do that? Listen, there is a membership form online as we speak. You can click on that link, fill it out, and I promise you on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.